just to be able to hear from heaven this morning. Say, what do you mean hearing from heaven? Well, you know that God's plan throughout time has always been to move through a person. It has. It's always been to move through a person. God's plan is people. Praise God. People to deliver His message. And so we're about to hear from heaven this morning. Let's pray and believe Him for the utterance that we need. Father, we're so blessed, so honored to be here in front of Your Word. For Lord, You said if we would know the truth would set us free. So Father, the reason maybe some of us are not set free and maybe walking in bondage and being held down by things of the world and things of the enemy, it's just because we don't know. But Father, we thank You that the entrance of Your Word brings light. And Father, we thank You, Lord, that the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, You gave us the Word so we wouldn't stumble. You gave us the Word so we wouldn't trip and falter. Father, we thank You we can be victorious in this life. Father, we can walk full of You spiritually, full of You prosperity, full of You health-wise, in a sound mind, Father God. The Word gives us that opportunity. So Lord, give us utterance this morning. May I open my mouth to speak boldly the Word of God. Father, we need to hear from heaven. We don't want to hear from man's ideas, man's opinions, or man's philosophies, or theories, or anything like that. We want to hear from heaven. So Father, I thank You that You'll speak through me. You'll make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, speaking words in season from the Holy Ghost, hitting the center of people's hearts this morning. And Father, I thank You. You tell people exactly what they need to hear. And we'll give You the praise. We'll give You the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Acts chapter 19, I will encourage you. I'm going to save on the review here. I would encourage you, if you weren't here Wednesday, to get online and listen to our Wednesday night service. It should be there by now. If not, we'll get it up there as quick as possible. Reverend Scott, who does our live stream, had been in California an extra week with Pastor Michael. He was teaching the Bible school, so he might have been a little delayed in getting that up there. But on Wednesday, we kind of piggybacked off what we talked about last Sunday, which was that we were going to kind of cast vision for the church of what kind of a church we are. Not only to set vision, because the Bible says that without vision, the people perish, but to let people know this is what we're about. And if we're going to get things done, we need to be in unity. We need to be in one accord. We need to have a sound mind and going in the same direction. Well, you might not want to be a word person or a spirit person. I don't know why you wouldn't. It's the only thing that's going to bless you in these last days. But it's just the truth. And we want to draw a line of sand because we want people to run with us, not hold us back. We want people to go in the same direction. And if you find, I just don't want the Bible. I'm not into that Holy Ghost. Well, you know, I'm not talking if you don't know or if you're not aware of things or maybe you're just learning. I don't mean that. I'm saying if you just flat out say, I don't want it, this church probably isn't for you. Praise God. Because we're running. Trying to bless people and make a difference. Hallelujah. And so I would encourage you to check out Wednesday night, because Wednesday night was a piggyback off of last week and how the Word is to be taught. Praise God. But that the Word is always meant to be preached with boldness. Praise God. That Jesus was not a wuss of a preacher. That when He corrected people, He just told them the truth. He preached the Word no matter who left Him, no matter who stayed around. He didn't beg you to stay. He knew He had what you needed. And if you didn't want it, He didn't care. Praise God. In the sense of He didn't beg you. Of course, He would want it for everybody. He's loving and compassionate. Don't take me wrong. But and so we needed people to know that, because when the correction from the Word comes into your life, whether it be through the preaching, whether it be through counseling one-on-one, whether it be through the Holy Ghost speaking to you, or whether it be through the Word, sometimes it's going to rub you the wrong way. Sometimes it's going to get right up in the uncomfortable parts of you and just make you feel real uncomfortable. But that's the way it's meant to be. And when that happens, then you won't get offended. You say, oh, okay. I'll tell you what, Peter had a lot of opportunities to walk away from Jesus and be offended. You know, Jesus didn't look like a very nice guy. On the surface, now we know he was full of love. But on the surface, Peter could have got offended, and he didn't. He stayed with him, and he was used mightily, wasn't he? Praise God. So just know that. Check that service out. I don't want to go over all that again here today. But today we're going in part two of this series, which is not only are we a word church, we're a spirit church. And I'm going to tell you what that means here today. That we're a spirit church. But go in Acts chapter 19 and verse 1 and 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 2. It says this, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Listen to what he said when he came across disciples that he met for the first time. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since or after you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, this is the way it is in a lot of places in the body of Christ. They have no idea about anything that pertains to the Holy Spirit. And that's a problem. And there's usually four types of churches. There's the church that does flow with the Word and Spirit. There's a church that doesn't know anything about the Holy Ghost, which that was this church here. They didn't know anything, or these people, they didn't know anything about it. There's churches that don't want anything to do with the Holy Ghost. And then there's churches that misuse and abuse and get into excess concerning the Holy Ghost. Well, I know this, when I drive, there's a ditch on the right and there's a ditch on the left. And just because there's a ditch on the left and a ditch on the right doesn't mean I want to end up there. Doesn't mean that I steer my car towards there. Thank God there's a middle of the road. And there's a middle of the road when it comes to, praise God, the Holy Ghost. And so we need to learn about the Holy Ghost, the flow of the Spirit. You're going to see why today that you leave here and you're going to say, we need the move of the Spirit in our church. We need the move of the Spirit in our personal lives. Praise God. John 16 in verse 7. I'm going to show you that you should want the Holy Ghost to be present in our services. You should want the Holy Ghost to have His way in this church. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 7, He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Well, that's a good thing. He didn't lie. "It is expedient," or that word means advantageous, or better, you could say it that way. "It is better for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, or if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you." Well, talking about the Comforter, we don't need to look there, but if you drop down a few verses in 13, it says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth." So when He talks about the Comforter coming to you, He's talking about the Holy Ghost. And He says that if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost won't come unto you. Well, see, how could it be better? That rocked their theology. How could it be better for Jesus to leave? See, if you wanted to get blessed back then, you had to go where He was. Now the Holy Ghost is poured out on the earth, and He's everywhere, praise God. And we'll see that here in John 14. We're just laying the groundwork before we go forward in some neat things today. John 14 and verse 16. He says, "And I will pray the Father that He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." So we're talking about the Holy Ghost. The Bible refers to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. It says, "Whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Praise God. You might not know this, or might not be aware of this, or living in this revelation, but the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of your spirit. That's amazing. Because the Holy Ghost, see, now a lot of churches, they want the Father, they want the Son, but they've shoved the Holy Ghost out. And for many reasons. You know, many times people get into excess concerning these things and get into weird stuff and nothing that can be backed up with the Bible. And people have been so turned off by those things, they don't want anything to do with it anymore. Well, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. What do I mean? Just because somebody did something wrong and somebody misrepresented the Holy Ghost, we don't just throw the whole thing away. Let's find out the truth of what the Holy Ghost has to offer. And what's amazing about it is that the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, there's three that bear witness: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they're the same, the Word says. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have the same abilities, have the same goals, have the same plan, but there's only one part of the three that is still left on the earth, and that's the Holy Spirit. God's in heaven on the throne. The Bible says Jesus is seated next to Him, and the Holy Ghost is on the earth, dwelling on the inside of you. Praise God. So we ought to want the Holy Ghost. But see, when you say Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, people start thinking, ooh, Halloween. We're not talking about Casper. We're not talking about some movie that's going to leave you with nightmares. The Holy Spirit, God, praise God. He's God, the lover of people, praise the Lord. The Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate, the Standby. And so what does it mean that we're going to be a spirit church? That's what we're going to show you today, what it means. Because my hope is that you see, wow, okay, that's what it means. That's what it could look like. And also, the benefits of it are too much to leave sitting aside. We have a part to play to make sure that it happens in our services. Amen. Well, a church that is with the Spirit, flowing with the Spirit, is a church where the Holy Ghost is welcome and has the authority. Yeah, that's right. What do I mean, the authority? The authority to flow, the authority to move, the authority to say some things, the authority to stop the service and go take it in a different direction, the authority to uproot the plans of man and the ideas of man and just take over and say, let God be God. Because that's the part of God that's still here on the earth. And so we're going to look at those things today and look at the blessing and draw a line in the sand of what this church is and what we're going to go for and what we're going to contend for. And I'll tell you what, if we'll all get in unity on these things, I mean, you look at the results they had in the book of Acts. That wasn't just for the book of Acts time. There's no expiration date on those things. And we hear about them through church history, different revivals and different fires that were started in different parts of the world where great outpourings of God, great demonstrations of God happened, great power flowed. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not just read about, not just hear about. We need to taste and see. Well, tasting and seeing are experiences. Actually experiencing the demonstration and the power of God. That's what I want for our church. We'll never have it though if we're not all in one accord, contending and hungering for the same things. Praise God. So let's take a look. But first, before I show you that, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. This will help you. This will calm you. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. One thing you have to understand and you have to know about this. Because the Holy Ghost, one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit has been so pushed out of the church and people are so against it. You know, I found this in life, usually, not always, but what people aren't up on, they're usually down on. You know, you ever found that? That if people don't know much about it or are leery about it, instead of just being like, you know, I really don't know much about it, I'd like to find out, most people, oh, that's not right. I don't understand that. That doesn't sit right in my flesh. That's not what I was taught growing up. And so they come down on it. Well, right now we need to throw our ideas, our old teaching, our old religion out the window. If it's Bible, we'll keep it. Praise God. But if it's not, throw it away. Who cares what Grandma said? If Grandma didn't preach the word, who cares then? Now, we love Grandma. I'm talking about my grandma, and she's in heaven. She won't get mad at me now. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get up and say, Grandma, you're off a little bit. Praise the Lord. She'll say, I know, honey. I know it all now. Praise God. And, you know, who cares what Reverend so-and-so said or TV preacher so-and-so? If it's not the Bible, who cares? Who cares what ideas, what feelings you have? We want to be word people. We want to be the clay that the Lord can form and mold and get His word into us. Praise God. And so many people are down on it because they don't understand it. They're afraid of it. Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, but the natural man, notice this, receives not the Spirit of God. If you try to figure it out in your mind, if you try to figure out the Holy Ghost in your flesh, you're not going to be able to. The Bible says it's impossible. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit or the things of the Holy Ghost. It says they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So sometimes there'll be moves of the Spirit or things of the Spirit that will absolutely seem crazy to your natural mind and uncomfortable to your flesh because they're not discerned or judged that way. And laying that groundwork, it helps me. It helps me because there's things I've seen, there's things that I've experienced that made my mind do, you know, like a little pinwheel, just, whoa, smoke coming out my ears, right? Or made my flesh uncomfortable, like, ooh, I don't like how that's going, but I knew in my heart it was God. I spiritually discerned that. The word also, the Bible says that the words that I speak, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. So you can explain the things of the Holy Ghost by the word, which is spirit. Praise God. So we need to know that going forward, that when the spirit gets to moving, it can make the flesh or the natural seem a little uncomfortable or a little kooky to our minds. And so many times people have avoided it altogether. Because they don't want that uncomfortable feeling. Well, I know this. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. God's ways are not my ways. Praise God. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are His thoughts above mine, so are His ways above mine. So let's take a look at some of these things and let's keep that verse in mind when we talk about some of these things. This church, just so you know, is going to teach and allow the Holy Ghost to move in its services. In particularly, one area that we will stress because it's so vital is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now get ready. Get ready for shivers to be set down your spine and the word tongues. Woo! Did you feel that? Did you feel that shoot right through you? Whoa! He said tongues in church. This church is a tongue-talking church. Praise God. And we're going to teach on it. We're going to teach you the benefits. I can say this, that the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life, the greatest thing besides getting born again, was getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Now the Bible teaches when, and if, again, if this is a topic you're unlearned on and it's brand new to you, don't just, well, I'm going to leave that on the shelf. Jesus said great power would come to the person that would receive this gift. And reach out and say, Pastor, will you show me that in the Word? Can we talk about that? I'd love to. But, you know, the greatest thing that's ever happened to me besides being saved was getting filled with the Holy Ghost. By far. I mean, there's not even a close second, praise. You said, well, what about the birth of your children? They wouldn't be here without the Holy Ghost. It's just the truth in my own life. It just wouldn't have happened. Well, all these other wonderful things. All a result of being filled with the Holy Ghost and praying these plans out. And, so we're going to be a church that teaches the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. We're not going to be ashamed of it. Glory to God. The Bible has a lot to say about it. You know, Jesus said this. He commanded his disciples, don't leave without it. He said, if you leave without this gift, you're going to be powerless in this world.
Right.
Now, don't take this the wrong way. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Praise God. But he told the disciples, if you don't get this, you're going to go out in the world and be powerless. Now, couldn't you say this then? If they would have disregarded what he said and went out anyways without getting filled with the Holy Ghost, wouldn't it be safe to say that they were powerless Christians?
Yes.
Absolutely. There's a lot of Christians that are walking around on the earth powerless. Doesn't mean they're any less loved. Doesn't mean they're any less on their way to heaven. They're just powerless in a world that you need power. It's just the truth. Jesus never expected you to go out into the world without the power, praise God. So we need to make sure that we have the power of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to teach on it. We're going to show you about it, praise God. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Because the Bible teaches that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of it, it's clear, I could show you about five or six places where the evidence of it is speaking in tongues. Because some people will say to me, well, Pastor, I don't need that tongues business to have the Holy Ghost. And in a measure, you're right. When you get filled, or when you get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residency in your heart. You get what I would call a measure of the Holy Ghost. Well, when you get baptized, the Bible calls it an infilling, or when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to fill you. Just like in that verse we said, what was the first thing Paul said to believers? Have you received the Holy Ghost since or after you believed? That shows you that not all the you don't get all the Holy Ghost you're ever going to get the day you got born again. You get some of the Holy Ghost, but you don't get all the Holy Ghost that you're ever going to get the day you were born again. There's more to be had. And the Bible clearly teaches, again, I'm not taking time to look at this, but you can meet with me and I'll show you. That when you get filled, the evidence of being filled is speaking in tongues. And Paul said about that dreaded tongues word in verse 18, he said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. If there's ever been a billboard for pro tongues, it's this verse right here. I thank the Apostle Paul, greatest Christian that ever lived, did more for Jesus than we can do in 10 lifetimes. Got revelation from Jesus personally. Didn't go to school for it. Didn't learn it from a man. Jesus Christ appeared to him, gave him the revelation of righteousness, the revelation of our authority in Christ, the Pauline epistles, all those letters to the churches. And he says, stands up and beats his chest and says, I pray in tongues more than you all. What's he saying? It's important.
Yeah.
That verse alone should not only get you to want the gift, but get you to use it.
Yeah.
If the apostle who had such power in his ministry, such signs and wonders is saying that, that should be our billboard. That should be our ambassador for speaking in tongues. Well, this church is a tongue-talking church.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but we are. No, I'm not sorry. Praise God. Take that back. I'm sorry you feel bad about it. I feel bad for you that you feel bad about it. It's a blessing for you to be had. Praise God. Now again, when you think about that verse about spiritual things, tongues naturally sounds like somebody has lost their mind.
Yeah.
It does. It sounds like somebody's just making words up. Well, the Bible says it's supposed to sound like that.
Yeah.
That your mind is not supposed to understand. In fact, you're to pray that you interpret what you're saying in tongues. It's supposed to sound crazy. Why? It's foolishness under the natural mind. The Bible already told you that. It's foolishness under your flesh. So we're a church that preaches and teaches in tongues. Praise God. Also, we need to learn as a church body how to flow with the Holy Ghost to let Him have His way in our services. And I want to show you what that means. And I'm going to show you, when I show you these things, you're going to say, wow, we need that in our services. We need that in our services. And I want to tell you this. I can't alone make the Holy Ghost move in our services. God alone can't make the whole... You don't understand how vital of a role that you play in getting the Holy Ghost to move in our services. And I'll show you that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go to verse 7 for time's sake. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. It says, but the manifestation... Now that word manifestation also means evidence, demonstration, or expression. So you could say it this way. The manifestation or the evidence, the demonstration, or the expression of the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost wants to demonstrate. He wants to show evidence that He's around. He wants to express Himself. He wants to manifest. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The Bible here is telling us, one translation says that when the Holy Ghost manifests, demonstrates, expresses, or has evidence of Himself, everybody that's there that witnesses that demonstration, that expression, will profit. Praise God. Everybody that's there will profit from that. So you know what that tells me? We need the manifestation of the Spirit. We need the Spirit to have His way. We need the demonstration. We need the expression of the Spirit, glory to God, to have His way in our services. Praise the Lord. Why? Because then we'll profit. Because then we'll profit, glory to God. So let's take a look at this, some things. In verse 8 here, in verse 8 down through verse 11, it tells you some of the ways the Holy Ghost manifests, demonstrates, expresses, or has evidence of Himself. It says, for one is given the Spirit. Now I'm going to tell you this. This is the manifestation of the Spirit. I'm just going to quickly tell you what these are. For one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is when somebody gets something supernaturally about the future that they didn't otherwise know. To another, the word of knowledge. That's when somebody gets something supernatural that they did not know about something present or past. It says, to another, faith. That's not talking about the faith you can receive by the word. That's a gift of the Spirit, special faith, special circumstances. Or you could say it this way, the power, the gift of faith. To another, gifts of healing, praise God. That's when somebody gets healed, hallelujah, right on the spot, a gift of it. They didn't have to use their faith. They didn't have to earn it or anything by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, that's self-explanatory. To another, prophecy, and again, that prophecy there, the simplest form is speaking unto people with exhortation, edification, and comfort. To another, the discerning of spirits, that's where the Lord would allow you to see into the spirit realm. If He allowed us to see in the spirit realm right now, you'd see angels, you'd see Jesus, and that's hopefully all you'd see. Amen. Leave your passengers at the door. Yeah. If you know what I mean. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We don't want them in here. Just you stay out there. Praise God. That's what the discerning of spirits is. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Praise God. To another, the interpretation of tongues. That's different ministry gift talking about tongues. Now look at this in verse 11. But all of these worketh in that one self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as what? He wills. People do not have the gifts of the Spirit. Some people say, oh, I have the gift of this. No, you don't. If you did, it's like this. One thing I was blessed with naturally is a little bit of athletic ability. And it's a little different in here. You might think big deal, but in the Olean Church, it's quite a bit bigger sanctuary. I can take a football or a baseball, and someone could stand anywhere in the room, and I could just real easily, casually hit them. I could hit them when they're running back and forth. I could hit them anytime with the ball, throw it right to them. Not even think twice about it. Anytime I want, pick up a ball and do that. Now, some people pick up a ball, it's like that's the first time they've ever seen a ball. That's the way I am with tools. What's this? Oh, it's a hammer. I didn't know. How do I use it? In fact, I was working for Rick Walker, working on a barn he was building, and he said, you got a new nickname. He said, I'm going to call you Lightning. I said, oh, that sounds good. Oh, yeah, Lightning. I said, why is that, Rick? He said, because you never hit the same place twice. I was hammering, I mean, terrible, bending nails, and I mean, the patience that man had with me. Glory to God. Anyways, and so that's the way I'm with tools, but I can do that because that's a gift that I have. Sure. I can't just see in the spirit realm whenever I want, neither can you. Right. You can't just, if we had the gifts of healings all the time, we could go clear out every hospital in America and shut them all down. We could. If you had the working of miracles, you could supernaturally get somebody out of any situation. Praise God. You don't have those gifts. And it's important that we look at that the Bible says He does it as He wills. Yeah. Yeah. We can't turn these things on and off.
Right.
Praise God. It's up to Him. But we do have a part to play in whether or not they happen or not. Let me give you some examples of the demonstration or the manifestation of the Spirit that maybe were a little bit weird in the natural, but brought great blessing as a result. And then we'll close with what we can do to make an atmosphere to make sure that this stuff happens in our services. You ought to want this. People profit from these things. When people are supernaturally healed on the spot, not only does that person profit, but we all profit. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, let's take a look at some of these things. I've told some of these stories before, but they'll bless you anyways to hear them again. I led youth group at the Jamestown Church years ago. And one service on Friday, we had it on Friday night for the senior youth group, and the junior youth group I think we had on Wednesdays. And I was driving around getting ready for service one Friday. I don't know if I was running errands. And I was just spending time with the Lord and praying. And all of a sudden I had a vision, which the Bible says people give visions in the last days. But I had a vision in my spirit. It wasn't something that was out on TV screen. And I saw myself ministering to somebody that night in service. And I saw myself putting my fingers in somebody's ears and uttering the words, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." And I knew that was something that was to be acted out that night. But I didn't honestly think much about it the rest of the day. It just kind of flashed. I knew what I was supposed to do, and it went away. And I had forgot about it in the service until I was given the salvation call. Heads were bowed, eyes were closed, and that vision came to me again. And in the spirit, I saw myself sticking my fingers in somebody's ears and saying, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." Well, I knew as the Holy Ghost kept bringing that up to me that I was supposed to walk that out after the salvation call. Well, I started to get into my mind about it. That night in youth group was a night where we had a lighter crowd because many of the kids had some function with school that they had to attend, was mandatory, and they couldn't be there. So I knew we had a lighter crowd, and we had one brand new person, a brand new girl. And this night, when you're a youth group leader, see, you know every single thing about the kids. Why? They make sure you do. I mean, you know everything about them. And I knew with the group that we had, there's nobody there with an ear problem. If there was, I would have already known about it. And so I'm thinking in my mind, nobody's got a problem with their ears. And I was thinking, if it's this girl, she's not going to come forward and be embarrassed in front of, you know, sometimes kids are self-conscious when they come to a place that they've never been around other people before. And I'm going to call her up here and jam my fingers in her ear? Uh-uh. That ain't going to happen. But I knew in my heart if I didn't do it, I'd be disobeying God. And that I wouldn't be following the Holy Ghost. And not only would somebody not get blessed, but I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. So I just yielded. You know, I'm very careful. If anything, I err on the side of caution. I said, "Who's got the problem with the ears?" I said, "I saw myself doing something. Who's got a hearing problem?" And I was shocked. That girl's hand went up so fast. And I said, "Do you mind coming up here?" And she did. And I said, "Well, I said, I want to tell you what I saw myself doing in the spirit. I said, I didn't know you were going to come here. I don't know who you are. I don't know what problems you had. But the Lord showed me today, me ministering to somebody. I didn't know if it was a boy or girl in the vision. I didn't see. That I'd be sticking my fingers in somebody's ear tonight and saying, 'Be healed in Jesus' name.'" I said, "What's going on?" And she told me one ear was like almost 100% hearing loss and the other one was declining. I can't remember what had happened to her or what. And she was telling me about her hearing problem. I said, "Well, I got to do it the way the Lord showed me." I said, "Would you give me permission?" Of course, she was there. "Would you give me permission?" And I, you know, when you're in youth group, you can use different terms. I said, "Would you give me permission to jam my fingers in your ear?" That's what I said. And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay." So I did. I stuck them in there and popped them out and said, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." Well, when that happened, I encouraged the other youth group kids, "Let's just thank Him for His healing power." When they started to talk, she heard voices, and she dropped to the floor and immediately started sobbing uncontrollably. And I'm nervous as all get out. I'm thinking lawsuit. I'm like, did I pop her eardrums? Did I jam them too hard? Did I embarrass her? I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, "I can hear! I can hear!" And she is just weeping. I mean, uncontrollably. She's like, "I can hear!" She just kept saying it. And I'm like, praise the Lord. And the whole place just, you know, started to go crazy. Kids praising God. And now you think about a kid being ashamed and being, not this girl. She got her healing. Do you remember? I mean, you were there, obviously. How you forget that? And I said, I'm like, I can't console this girl. I can't. And I'm glad, you know, and I don't want to stop her from rejoicing. She's praising God. And so we had called a couple of our faithful older girls over. And we said, you take her off into the court. I have service still to run. Right. We had to make like little tater tots and play games and do fun things. And this girl, unconsoled, I said, you take her over in the corner. You rejoice with her. You praise God with her as long for the rest of the service till her parents picked her up, just weeping, praising God for her healing. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, why would you need to stick your fingers in her ear? I don't know. Why did Jesus have to use spit to heal a blind man's eyes? I don't know. Oh, that's nasty. Why did he do that? I don't know. It worked. Why did Elisha tell Naaman, go dip in the Jordan 7 times to get your leprosy healed? Why couldn't he just be healed on the spot? I don't know. Why couldn't I just flick her ear? Why? Caleb's always sitting at breakfast and I'll come up, boom, it's all. Why couldn't I do that? Why couldn't I just say, in the name of Jesus, be healed? I don't know, but I followed the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost does things different than we would do different things. Why would Jesus, the powerful Jesus, not just be able to touch somebody's eyes? Why would he have to hawk a loogie into the dirt, rub it around, and jam it on the person's eyes? There's nothing powerful in spit that brings back vision. There's nothing in my index fingers that brings back hearing. There's nothing in mud that brings back vision. But that's what the Spirit of God wanted for that particular moment. Praise God. I was in another service in youth group. This was my cousin. She had, and we're going to get to this. We had so many manifestations and move of God in the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you why. Sometimes kids put adults to shame. Oh, they absolutely put adults. You know, I can sit here and you say, well, it's a true statement. I can tell Caleb, you know, the Bible says, buddy, lift your hands and shout unto him. Let's praise God. You know what he does? Oh, I don't know, Dad. Praise you, Jesus! Praise you, Jesus! He hears the word and does it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm telling you. The faith like a child. Faith like a child. And anyways, we're in youth group service. And it came into my heart while I was preaching. Healing of the back. Healing of the back. Well, I didn't know this. And she lived with us. My cousin had scoliosis during the time. And I said, I didn't know this. She said, yeah, my one leg's 3 to 4 inches shorter than the other, and it's causing back problem. Well, I had seen other people minister this way before, and it came up in my spirit to have her sit down in a chair. And it came up, so we had the other kids gather around. So she sat down, and we pulled her leg up, and you could see there was a difference, 3 to 4 inches difference. Well, no wonder she had back problems. And I knew in my spirit, this puppy's about to grow in front of these kids. I just knew it. A gift of healing, a working of miracles. And I said, in the name of Jesus, leg, you come out. And that stinking leg grew. And the kids, I mean, you talk about fireworks and it went bonkers. The place went off the hook. Oh, my. You can imagine what kids. I saw it. I saw it grow. We were worshiping God and praising him. We had things like that happen all the time. We had tongues and interpretation. See, people say, I don't want the Holy Ghost to serve because that tongues. Do you know how many times I've been supernaturally ministered to by tongues and interpretation? Where somebody will call me out of a service, speak tongues over my life, and then interpret it in English, and it'll be like they've been watching me in my life for the last, I don't know how many months, telling me exactly what I need to do in my future, exactly what's come up ahead. And people say, well, we don't want that manifestation. We don't want that Holy Ghost business. It's too weird for us. I told you about the time that got me hooked to the supernatural in that Kevin Durant meeting, the middle of the service. Calls me out. I'm sitting towards the back. Calls me out. So stand in the aisle. He's preaching. He's not ministering to anybody. The night before, what was I saying to God for a half an hour to an hour? I want more of you. I want more of you, Lord. That's all I kept saying over and over. I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. Because I knew there was more of God to be had. More of God to be had. I want more of you. He picks me out in a service. Not ministering to anybody. Right in the middle. He's preaching fire. If you ever seen him preach, he's screaming his head off. Looks like his head's about to pop off. And he stops. And he looks up and he walks right to me. He says, you, stand out in the aisle. He says, you want more of God, don't you? I'll tell you what. My phones weren't tapped. My house wasn't bugged. He wasn't spying on me. The Holy Ghost told him. Well, he came up to me and it felt like he about hit me with a baseball bat. The force of it. And I flew back into the usher's arms. And afterwards, I asked Pastor Tim Stallman and Reverend Randy Nelbone. I said, how hard did he hit me? And they said, he didn't get within 2 feet of you. The power of God blasted me. I couldn't stand if I tried. Well, that's biblical. Yeah. Paul hit the dust when Jesus appeared to him. Couldn't stand up. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 says that when the Spirit of God fell in that place, that the ministers couldn't even stand to minister. You know what that looks like naturally? It looks like this. They're on the ground, and they're trying to get up, and people say, oh, they're just faking it. Oh, they're just faking it. No, see, when the Spirit of God comes, it does something to your natural body. You'll see people do things. Now, there are times people will fake stuff and put on a scene. But think about it. They couldn't stand to minister. They were supposed to minister, but they're trying to get up. You know how fake and put on that would look like? I mean, they're like stumbling to try to get up. Oh, they're just faking it. Well, how do you know? Because I know that I've been blasted so hard by the Holy Ghost, I couldn't stand. I had Brother Chris D'Amico stand in front of me one time in a service, not even touch me, and it just crumpled me. I mean, I just, the anointing, the power, the presence of God was so strong, my knees started to buckle. My knees started to go. Nobody touched me, nobody pushed me, nobody slapped me. It was the anointing and the power of God. What was it? A demonstration or a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We want these things. We want these things. Praise God. But here's the awesome thing that you need to know. And again, we're going to close with showing you how we get these things. Is that these are not just meant for the ministers. The gifts or the manifestation of the Holy Ghost are meant for your individual lives and your private time with God, but also in your ministry in your life. You say, I didn't know I had a ministry. You do. It's called Thanksgiving dinner. It's called your shopping trip to Walmart. It's called your job. It's a ministry. It's a mission field in those places. That need people that you're around need the power of God. They need somebody who's going to bring the demonstration and the power of God into their life. People are desperate for it. Desperate for a move of God. I was at Walmart. This was a few years back. And at the time, I had just left my job as the after-school director at one of the elementary schools in Jamestown. And I ran into a girl who used to have the same position as me in another school. But she took the coordinator's position over all the after-school programs, so she had got quite a promotion. And she was working at Walmart in the evening shift. I believe she would have been on whatever the second shift is at Walmart, because it was probably 9, 10 o'clock at night when I saw her. And she's hanging the clothes, and it caught me off guard. Not because working at Walmart's bad or a dishonorable thing to do, but because she had a job, and I knew that that job paid her really good money, and I couldn't figure it out. Well, I found out after why she was. But anyway, she was there, and I was talking to her and just making conversation. And instantly, I knew that she had been pregnant. I didn't know how I knew it, but I just knew it, and I knew I was supposed to ask her about it. I mean, it was just like, and I said, Chrissy, weren't you pregnant? And her face got white as a ghost. And she says, how did you know that? Well, her tone told me that I wasn't supposed to know that. Right. I knew, oh boy, this just took a turn for the worse. We were having a nice conversation. Now she's not happy with me. And I'm struggling, and I'm racking my brain. I'm thinking, Courtney. Courtney didn't tell me. She goes, I know she didn't. I said, okay, our former supervisor, she didn't tell me. She said, I know she didn't. She said, the only person that knew is my husband, and you've never even talked to my husband. I said, I never talked to him in my life. She goes, how'd you know? She's mad. I said, I don't know. I have no idea. If I think about it, I'll let you know. I don't know. I know that you were. And she goes, well, I lost the baby. She said that. I lost the baby. Well, it went from here to here real fast. Oh, that's really real good, Mike. Way to go. Good job. But see, God doesn't do those things to make you look bad. God doesn't do those things to hurt the person that you're to minister to. It's so that people can profit. What I got was a word of knowledge about something in the past supernatural that I didn't know about. Well, I went home, and the whole way home, I mean, I'm frustrated. I had made her upset, and I'm thinking, how do I know? Well, finally, I got out of the natural realm, and I asked, Lord, how do I know? And he said, I told you. I told you that she, word of knowledge. I told you she was pregnant. It's for a purpose, he told me. Well, I went home, waited for her to get out of work that night, and it was late when I called her. She was surprised I called her, and I said, Chrissy, I got in prayer. I couldn't figure it out. I knew that I upset you. I said, I don't have a clue how I would know naturally. My wife didn't tell me, my supervisor. I said, but I know that you were without a shadow of a doubt. It was so clear to me. I said, the Lord told me, and she goes, I know that he did. And I said, what's going on? She said, you're probably wondering why I'm working at Walmart. I said, yeah, I am. She said, well, when we lost the baby, it put a divide between me and my husband. And I'm working an extra job to secretly put away money because I'm getting ready to bolt and leave him. And she said, but now, I know God loves me. God cares about me. For God to show you that I was pregnant when I was so careful to not tell anybody, and I was able to minister to her on the phone about that baby. Listen, if you've had a miscarriage, if you've had an abortion in the past, you have not lost that baby. That baby's in heaven with Jesus, glory to God, alive and well, and you'll see that child again. You'll see that child again. That baby's not lost. And I was able to minister to such peace to her. God is so good. God is so good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The manifestation of the Spirit. We've been in services, and I'm getting ready to close. Praise God. Sort of. And we've been in services. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Strength. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed. Well, if you know anything about the word anointing, anointings are to destroy the yoke. The yoke of bondage, the yoke of burden. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness or the oil of joy above His fellows. That was a supernatural anointing. Well, the Bible says that the joy or the anointing of the Lord through joy is your strength. Can supernaturally carry you through things. The Bible says to put on the garment of praise, which praise is rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord or be in joy always. Again, I say rejoice. Is for the spirit of heaviness. So there's a supernatural aspect to joy. There's a supernatural aspect to rejoicing. Well, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That joy is a supernatural thing. I've been in services where a supernatural joy fell on that place. And it was for a purpose to destroy some yokes. But naturally, you see some things that are crazy. You see people laughing uncontrollably. You see people running around. You see people jumping up and down. You see people dancing in their seats. You see people just full of so much happiness and joy. And naturally, we think in church, oh, you know, we become all of a sudden, we take a step back and we join the church of the frozen chosen. What is the church of the frozen chosen? You just stand there, don't do anything. Don't show that you're happy, don't express.
That's right.
Yeah, let's use this example. Now, maybe not everybody would react like this, but you wouldn't think it would be odd for somebody to react like this. If somebody showed up with a check for $1 million to somebody, and you saw them take off for a run down your street, you wouldn't think, that's weird. You'd think, heck yeah, I'd be running too.
Yeah.
I had a guy last night tell me, it was funny, he said, Pastor, if I got a check for $1 million, I'd hoot and holler. I think my running days are over. I don't know. I think you might run still. But anyways, you wouldn't think it would be odd to see that person dancing, be dancing. I'll tell you what, if I got a check for $1 million, this is what you see. Woo! 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 That's what you'd see. You'd see me dancing. You'd see me jumping. You'd see me shouting. You wouldn't think anything of it. Because of money. But when joy manifests in a church over the things of Jesus, see, when you get a revelation that you win no matter what happens, when you get a revelation that you're going to heaven, that you're eternal, that nothing's going to move you, nothing can overtake you, you can't help but react in a positive way. And when you get that revelation and the joy falls, naturally in our minds we think, oh, that's fake. Oh, they're putting that on. But we don't think anything of it at that football game. With those services, Jake was with me in California, and we saw, he was, oh, I need to get on a treadmill more. Oh, well, there's my workout for the week, Vinny. Save those workout programs you're giving me, I just did it. Interval training, short spurts, right, of high intensity. Woo! Oxygen, anyone? And praise the Lord. And we were in a service where joy fell right from the beginning. And I'm telling you, Holy Ghost laughter, where you just, laughter's medicine, the Bible says.
Yeah.
The Bible says laughter's medicine. And people just laughing and rejoicing. It's okay to be glad you're not going to burn in hell forever. Is it all right if we're happy about that? I mean, people get their tax returns and you'd think they just won the lottery, the way they act. But going to heaven, oh, it's true. You see, you have to understand that when the first manifestation of the Holy Ghost happened, you know what they accused the people of? Being hammered. They said, they're full of new wine. Well, you know what I've learned? That they spoke in tongues that day, but that wasn't the only manifestation of the Spirit. When I hear people talk in languages that I don't understand, I don't immediately say, drunk guy. Drunk guy. No! Drunk people look a certain way. How do I know? I used to be one. I used to be at the parties and the clubs and the bars, seeing how people act. Drunk people stumble around. Drunk people, woo-hoo! You don't even care. Woo-hoo! Am I telling the truth? Singing at the top of their lungs, don't care who can hear them, don't care how they can sound. I mean, dancing like you've never even seen them dance. drunk people.
True.
And they said, they're full of new wine. And Peter said, they're not drunk as you suppose, but the third hour of the day. What was happening? Joy. A manifestation of joy. People stumbling around. People rejoicing. People jumping up and down. They said, they're drunk. Only drunk people act that way. No. People that are filled with joy and goodness act that way. You see, rejoicing looks a certain way. It sounds a certain way. And we've been so religiously brainwashed and traditionally taught that when we get into a church service, any manifestation of the Spirit weirds our minds out so bad, weirds our flesh out, that we don't want anything to do with it. But see, this church needs to know. Because I want that stuff here.
Amen.
You don't understand the stuff that busted off people on that Monday night service. I was with Jake, and I speak freely to say this. Things busted off him that night that will set him for the future. Supernatural joy to get him through some things. Yeah, and many other people, myself included. Praise God. And see, when this church is growing, and with the Olean Church, and we start having our own guest ministers in, and when this church keeps getting faithful, I just believe in this church that we're going to keep getting faithful. I believe all of our people are going to be at a guest minister meeting someday. I'm just believing that we're all going to be that hungry. And when you go to these things, see, the reason they happen in places like California is because you have people that are paying hundreds of dollars to fly across country, take time out of their schedule, pay for a hotel room, have to pay for food all week, to be in services with God. You have a home church that's so hungry, that takes off work to come, to prepare for the meetings. What you have in that place is a hunger level that's not matched anywhere else. And when you watch it by live stream, you won't understand it till you're in one of those services. The atmosphere and the electricity when you have believers coming together in one accord that are hungry for the move of God, it is unmatched. It is awesome, praise God. And as you start going to these meetings, that's why these things happen in guest minister meetings. Because let's just face it, the people that go to the midweek services, the people that go, now I'm not saying if you can't and things come up, you understand what I mean. But the people that avail themselves to the guest minister meetings, the people that avail themselves to the midweek services, they're the hungry ones that want more. Usually speaking, they want more of God. So you're getting a bunch of people from all these different churches coming together that want more of God. An expectation, electricity level is raised through the roof, and it gives God an opportunity to move in these services. So you're going to have to prove that by the word, why I'm going to, and then we'll close with this. Matthew 5 and verse 6. You want to know why we saw crazy things happen in youth group? Because those kids showed up with a hunger that no adults have matched. Every week they would show up. I mean, they would be in tears if they couldn't come to church. You know why people overseas see the miracles? Because there's a hunger level overseas because there's no comfort level. They don't have all their stuff and all their toys and everything that has dulled their senses to the spiritual things. They have God, and that's all they want is God. Pastor Tim was talking about preaching in Brazil. And how you have to sign up to get to go to church. And there's a line, and the place is packed, and they sit on plastic lawn chairs, no air conditioning, over 100 degrees. He said he just could wring his suit out with the sweat. No air conditioning, no nothing. And these people are signing up to be able to be one of the five services on the weekend that they get to go to. And will sit there for hours rejoicing.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. A little bit of uncomfort for us keeps us home. Well, you know that TV show. Well, I'm tired. Come on. Come on. Come on. Well, I'm tired. See, a hunger level. A hunger level. A hunger level. Hungry for God. Willing to do anything to get where He is. Coming to church not with a ho-hum attitude. Coming to church that God's going to move in my church today. The Spirit of God's going to manifest. Praise God. Well, I'm uncomfortable. Just put all that stuff aside. Hunger, hunger, hunger. Prove it, Pastor Mike. Okay, we'll close with this. Matthew 5 and verse 6.
Praise God.
See, this is all from a heart of not condemning people, making people feel bad. It's all from a heart, I want a new environment in this church.
Amen.
I don't want to be the ones that just talk about the other churches and the other moves and the other countries. You know what's going to cause people from this community to start pouring this place? When the dinner bell of healing gets rung in this place. When the dinner bell of miracles is getting rung in this place. When God's really moving in this place, the masses will start flocking here. They will. People don't need another dead religion. And people all over the body of Christ are trying to convince people that Jesus is the way through words. It was never meant to be that way. The Bible says confirming the word with signs following. The word was never meant to be debated or presented in a smart way to convince somebody to be a Christian. You see, because someone will say, Jesus is the way. And someone will say, Buddha's the way. And someone will say, Allah's the way. Well, what's the difference? There's no difference in words, but there's difference when there's power. That's why Paul said that my speech and my preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of spirit and power. He said, that's what will hook people. And some of you, oh, Jesus is the way. If you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. Well, what makes somebody want to receive that over somebody that says, no, Allah's better. No, Buddha's the way. No, this is the way. Joseph Smith's the way. The only difference is that our God is real. And that our God's a God of power. And our God wants to demonstrate and bless people. And when we start bringing that to people, you won't have to convince them. You won't have to convince them. The power will convince them. The power will convince them. Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, blessed are they which are casual and take it or leave it after righteousness. No, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they, those ones will be satisfied. Those ones will be filled. Showing up to this service so hungry, so expecting. What are you going to do today, God? Praise the Lord. The only thing you bring in here is your hunger, your expectation level. Two more verses, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. Praise the Lord. I'm not satisfied with the status quo. And if you are, this is going to be the wrong church because I'm going to bang the drum for the spiritual gifts. I'm going to bang the drum for the supernatural. The world is so void of the supernatural. They're seeking out other means of supernatural power. The devil will manifest supernaturally. You can go to a fortune teller, and they will read, and they'll tell you things about your past, and they'll tell you things about your future, and all it will do is show you the supernatural, and it's meant to pull you away from Jesus. Pull you away from Jesus. Won't give any credit to the Lord. Won't tell you that Jesus is the only way. Yes, that stuff's real. Yes, the devil has supernatural powers, but it's always to entice you to get you away from the Word. Well, the reason people fall for it is because the church has been dead and sleeping and sitting on its bum and not doing anything, and so people are hungry for a move of something, and when they see something, they run to it. We need to give them the move of God, the real move of God. And we can have it. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Not take it or leave it. Covet them. Yeah. Hunger after them. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Notice this. Follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts. Desire. If we could get everybody. See, I can't bring it alone. Jesus in his own hometown was filled with the Spirit, ready to bring power. God was ready to bring power, but the people were not on board. And he could there do no mighty works, save lay his hands on a few sick folk. But he wanted to do mighty works. I can come jacked on the Holy Ghost. I can come so built up in the Word, setting myself aside through fasting and praying, being ready to just come in here and blast the roof off this place. But if you're not ready, it'll fall short. You don't know how important you are. Desire spiritual gifts. What am I talking about? During the week, on your face, Father, we need an outpouring. And when I pray for spiritual gifts, I don't pray that they just be manifest through me. I pray, Lord, we just need the spiritual gifts. In the body of Christ, in our churches, in our people's lives. Father, we crave, we desire the spiritual gifts. We want them. We're not satisfied without them. Can you imagine if every single person in this church was praying that way during the week? Father, show up on Sunday. Father, boldness, utterance, signs following, confirming the word. It won't happen until we covet and desire them. So surprised that we used to have things like this happen in youth group left and right. I would go tell Pastor Tim what we had in service. I mean, it was like every week something crazy happened in youth group. People, those kids showing up just desiring God. Just desiring God. So let's be on board. I found this, that when I've taught on this, there's an upping of hunger in the church. And then things happen. And then people back off, and then I see a decline. I can't stand up here and pretend to put something on. Why don't we have those in our service? Don't you blame me. Don't blame me. I'm hungering for it. I'm going after it. I'm contending for the supernatural. But I need your help. I need your help. Praise God. Can't do this alone. So let's hunger for it. Amen. And let's not be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. He's welcome to move. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. This morning, we're so honored and blessed to be here. So thankful for your word, Father. I thank you for all that you've given us, all that you've provided for us. Father, you're so good. You're so wonderful. You're so mighty. We thank you for the move of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is you. We want him in our service. We want him to demonstrate, to manifest, to show himself, Father. We just thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Who's here struggling with depression really strongly right now? Don't be embarrassed. Come forward. You're going to be free of that thing. Don't miss this opportunity to be free. So I'm embarrassed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who's struggling with depression? Come forward. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're struggling with depression, come forward. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now here's what's going to happen, Charity. I'm going to lay hands on you, okay? I'm going to break. Let's move forward. Actually, put a chair behind her. She's pregnant. I don't want her to fall on the ground. Praise God. And I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to break the power of the enemy. And then what your job is, the devil will leave you alone when I break the power. Your job then is to get in the Word and renew your mind, okay? All depression is wrong thinking, the devil bombarding you with thoughts, bombarding you with different things. So once I break the power of the enemy, which will supernaturally happen, the Lord wouldn't have told me that in my heart if it wasn't to help you. But then there's a Godward side, there's a manward side. God will take care of his part, and then afterwards you get in the Word, renew your mind. I can help you with some verses. I can maybe call you later or even after service give you some verses, okay? So we're going to believe God. Just lift your hands to heaven, Charity. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of the enemy over her. We command, devil, you take your hands off of her. You take your hands off her mind. You are no longer permitted to torment and to harass and to disturb her. We say you are free. You are free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jerry. Praise God. Let's just continue to worship him. Father, we love you tonight. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Hallelujah. What's that? It's a manifestation. That's a word of knowledge right there. Praise. That's what I'm talking about. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Is there anything else you want to do today, Father? We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Father God. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Father God. Who here has been told they've had something from the doctor that naturally is incurable? That's something that naturally there's no answer for. Who here has something in their life, whether it be some kind of physical thing, something that says you're going to struggle and deal with that for the rest of your life? No medicine can fix it. Who is that here this morning? Come forward. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come forward. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you both just stand side by side one another, and if you just listen to me and look at me real quick. See, that's the doctor's report. That's the doctor's report. The doctor will tell you, that, and doctors are studied, and they know what they're talking about, and that's maybe what your body's saying or whatever's going on, but that's not God's report. That's not the final answer. And you need to start putting your faith into what God has said and not what the enemy's telling you and not what the doctor's. Now, do what the doctor says and follow that, but always let God's word trump those feelings. And so today we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to believe for supernatural healing for that thing. From this point forward, you go out of here thanking the Lord, I'm healed. And when the doctor says this, you say, no, I was healed in that church service. Pastor Mike didn't call that out. That's pretty bold to step up and say, who's got something incurable? The Lord wants to heal that. That's bold to say that, but that was from heaven. So God has a purpose for this. So from this point on, after I lay hands on you, the healing will come to you. It's your job to thank God for it and to renew your mind to healing and not have your mind so turned on to what the doctor's saying. I know those things can be scary at times, but when you get into this, he's more powerful than anything the doctor could ever say. In the name of Jesus, we command her to be healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Every bit of sickness, every bit of disease, you are commanded to go from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet in Jesus' name. We command in the name of Jesus for him to be free, to be healed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. We don't care what the doctors say. We don't care what the natural says. Father, you're the healer. How Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. So we call these two individuals healed. We call them free in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. No longer say I have that. No longer say I'm stuck with that. No, no, your new confession is I'm healed. I've been healed. That thing's leaving. That thing's leaving. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. We bless you this morning. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah. Anything else, Father? Praise Lord. This is called demonstrations. Hallelujah. I'm not going to call anything out unless the Holy Ghost says it, because then it won't fail. Praise God. We bless you, Lord. Anything else, Father? Anything else, Father, before we go forward? Anything else, Holy Ghost? We never want to rush this, Lord, because we're thinking about lunch or things we have to do. This is life-changing. Anything else, Lord, that you want to do this morning? We just love you. We worship you. We magnify you. We praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your mercy. You're so kind to us, Lord. We're so honored to know you, Jesus. We're so honored to know you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Please, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question today. If today were my last day on earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. If today were my last day on planet earth, would I go to heaven? If the answer is I don't know or I'm not sure, you don't have to leave here with that. I mean, what a fearful feeling to not know what's going to happen to you when your days are up. I don't fear death. I'm not afraid of it. Because I know when it's my time, I'm going to heaven to be with my Jesus. Praise God. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. It doesn't matter how many good things you've done, how many bad things you've done. It all matters what you do with Jesus. So if you're here with heads bowed, eyes closed, we won't embarrass you. We won't have you come to the front. We won't have you stand up and say anything on your own. This is between you and God. Nobody's looking around. But if you want to receive Jesus and you want to start a new life and you want to make sure to go out of here knowing you're going to heaven, but not only that, but to have a supernatural Father to bless you, protect you, take care of you, then this is for you. All you have to do is believe that Jesus died and rose again. If you believe Jesus died and rose again and you want to receive him for the first time, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand in the air? I see that hand, I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. I meant it when I said we're not going to embarrass anybody. Praise God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. Is there anybody else in the service that didn't respond that needs to? Anybody else that wants to receive Jesus here this morning? Anybody else? Glory to God. Father, we had a few hands. We're so thankful for it. Father, you have such a better plan for their life, Father. You have a plan filled with not only heaven and good spiritual things. You have a plan filled with wonderful natural things. Blessing for them. Blessing for their family. Health and healing. Peace of mind, Father God. So if you raised your hand, there's only one thing left for you to do, and that's to confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart. Now don't worry. You're not going to have to figure out what to say on your own or speak in front of the church by yourself. We're going to all pray a prayer with you out loud. But I ask that you repeat these words and that you mean them from the bottom of your heart. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you raised your hands, go ahead and say this with me, along with everybody else in the church. Say this with me. Say, Dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. I thank you that this is a new beginning for me. And things will never be the same. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look forward. If you responded to that, then your next step is to get into a Bible teaching church. Not just a church, a Bible teaching church that will tell you the truth. God has an amazing plan for your life. Don't let this be your only encounter with God. Of course, we'd love to have you here, but you go where you're called. I'll tell you this, you're not called to a place that's not teaching the Word, though. I'll tell you that. And we'll make sure to teach it here if you want to stay here. But that was what kind of services we need to have right there. Moves of God. Hunger for these things. If you have to write it on your refrigerator, I don't mean on a note card, I mean crayon. Right on your fridge. We need these things. Praise God. So have an awesome rest of your weekend. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. You are dismissed.